So, first of all, my tremendous Hakaras HaTov and taking reshus from Ribbetson Mandel. If it weren't for her, there would be no Tuesday morning shiur. I certainly would not have been inventing one, so it's completely to her credit. As well as to Mrs. Strauss, she's the mover and shaker behind it all. I know she was, you know, in contact with me. When are we starting? What are we doing? Everything's on her head. The Aguda Shul also, I guess the other locations that you said we moved to, I'm not aware, but certainly Aguda, we have to thank them. We're using their location and AC. And all of you ladies, if there's not a shiur, if there's not people attending this year, so thank you very much. It's totally thanks to you that we have this shiur.
Right now there are people away on vacation.
The whole shiur I'm including, but I know there are people away. So, it seems that the topic we decided on was Pirkei Avos, which I'm very pleased about. The way we'll be doing it, I hope, is to go through it inside. I prepared it inside, obviously, and as we go along, we'll discuss some of the history also, some of the great personalities mentioned in the Pirkei Avos. We'll give a short introduction now, but I think more of the history also will make sense as we go along. So to have a sense in terms of the Shas layout, where is Pirkei Avos? It's not a random collection of Ma'amorim all by itself. It's obviously located in Shas, in Mishnayos. And in fact, it's actually located as the penultimate, as the ninth of the 10 Masechtos, which are to be found in Seder Nezikin. We know Nezikin is the fourth Seder of Mishnayos, and Nezikin, we translated correctly as damages, which really covers more than damages. The famous three first Masechtos, the Bavos, cover basically all of civil law. Shouldn't say all of civil law, but very much of it. And from there on, Nezikin continues with Sanhedrin, which deals with, obviously, based in Hagadol, and all the cases they would hear of, including capital cases, including basically all cases. And after such Masechtos dealing with Dayanim and judgment and things like that, we find Pirkei Avos. I should also mention that Avos and one other little Masechta called Eduyos are the two Masechtas in Nezikin which do not have a Gemara corresponding to them. Right, if you look at a Mishnayos Bava Kamma, it's 10 Parakim. If you look at a Gemara Bava Kamma, it's nice and thick because it has Gemara on each Mishnah. So Avos does not. When we learn Pirkei Avos, we are learning Mishnayos, and that's all there is to it. There's no corresponding Gemara. However, in Bava Kamma, actually, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, we see a Memra which mentions Pirkei Avos. And we see that it says, Omar Rav Yehuda said, Hayman deboy lmeve chasida. Someone who wants to be a chassid, and no, he does not recommend going out and getting a shtreimel, because that's not what he's talking about. He means somebody to be a chassid, to be lefnim mishuras hadin, to be a truly pious and sincere person. What should he do? Likayim mili dinezikin. He should very carefully keep all the nezikin matters, because that's where it really push comes to shove. Am I going to give up what I thought was my rights, my money, my property, etc.? You want to be a chassid, you have to listen to Beis Din. Maybe go even lefnim. Rava Amar, however, Rava says somebody who wants to be a chassid, he should keep mile de avos. He should read and keep Pirkei Avos. And then a third opinion, the Omri law, some said mile de brachos. He should learn very carefully brachos. So I saw it suggested that why bedafka these three? They sort of cover Nezikin has been Adam Lachavero. Avos is a sort of sense in Adam La'atmo, if we can say it, improving ourselves, of course because of Hashem, towards Hashem, but improving ourselves. And brachos is very much been Adam La'makom, to realize that everything is Hashem's, until I make a bracha, I'm not permitted to enjoy the world, things like that, sort of covering all the bases between man and his fellow, man and himself, obviously for the purpose of serving Hashem, and directly been Adam La'makom. So, additionally to this, the fact that Avos is found in Nezikin is explained by the Rambam already for two reasons. He says, first of all, to remind us that any Beis Din has a Mesorah. It's following, it has Samicha, literally, or in our case, currently not literally real Samicha, but figuratively, one Beis Din follows the next, every Gadol learns by someone else, and Pirkei Avos, we're going to see, goes through very much of this Mesorah, obviously, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mesinai, Mesorah, etc., etc. That's why one should never say, you know, who's this based and who's this Gadol. It's true, not every Dor is Zochet, as great Gadolim as other Doros, but every Gadol did not just pick up and say something on his own. If he did, he's not one of the Gadolim. He has a Mesorah behind him. And the Rambam also suggests a second reason. He says the topics discussed in Avos, this Musar, and self-improvement and self-awareness, while it's important for any of us, the damage inflicted by someone who has not improved himself by these teachings is much more much more hurt other people if that person is a dayan, if he's a judge, if he's someone in charge of people, and he's not ethical, he's not learning Musar, so what his wrong decisions, his wrong attitude is going to affect the whole tzibur. So he says Avos is most importantly directed to such individuals as dayanim. We who learn it, obviously, we also should be learning it. And he says, you know, an Amaretz who does not learn Pirkei Avos, so he's just hurting himself. Hopefully we're above Amaretz, I think. We're not dayanim, though. So we're learning it for ourselves, and of course it also helps interpersonal relationships, that's for sure. So that's the Rambam. I think perhaps also one could say that Avos fits into Nezikin very well, because both Nezikin, such civil laws, torts, whatever you want to call them, damages, and Avos, such nice ethical sayings, with both one can perhaps fall into the fallacy of saying, well, you know, these are just like good ideas, these are what any society might come up with. You need to get along with your neighbor, so I'll advise you do X, Y, Z, or we'll set up civil laws. And that's obviously not the case. That's why we're going to see Avos begin, specifically Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. This is all part of the Torah. It does not need reminding when we're learning about Tumah V'Tahara, something that only exists in the Torah sphere, so that doesn't need reminding. But when it comes to civil laws and basic civility, if one wants to call it an Avos, so perhaps that's also to remind us, both on Ezekiel, and we need to be reminded that really this is all part of Torah, of course. So, just before we begin, I'd also like to note a little bit why we call this Mishnah Avos. Most other Mishnayos have names that have what to do with the content. Shabbos is about Shabbos, Yuma is about Yom Kippur. The three Bavos actually have nothing to do with their names. Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra are named at the first, second, and last gate. Are named so because originally in Mishnayos there was a 30-parak long Masechta called Nezikin. When Gemara was developed on that, the Gemara would have been probably too heavy to carry, to lift. They did not want a 30-parak Gemara, so it was simply divided. If you look at the Bavos now, they're 10 parakim each, and that's why they're called gates. Simply like chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 of Nezikin. But most Masechtas do have what to do with their names, so why is this called Avos? It's not about Kibbutz Avaim, why is it called Avos? So the Rambam explains, because teachers are called Avos. You know, Elisha called Eliyahu, Avi Avi, Rechav Yisrael Parashav, my father. So this is all the teachings, specifically really like what a teacher would tell you, you know, outside of the classroom, but you should just know X, Y, Z, called Avos. Tveres Yisrael suggests Avos as in the predecessors going backwards, going to the beginning, because we know Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. One cannot learn Torah if one is not a mensch. Why? Because Torah is directed towards menschen, it's not directed towards totally unschooled people. So we need the Avos, in a sense, first. That's why it's called Avos. And likewise, the Bnei Yisachar says the Avos refer directly to the 26 generations who preceded the giving of the Torah. The good ones of them, like the Avos, also existed in a sort of sense as Derech Eretz. We know they also kept mitzvot, but it was before the real Matan Torah. Some other Mepharshim suggest that Avos is directed to parents and teachers. It's the type of Masechta that, you know, you obviously like your kids and your students to really absorb and to learn. Or also to ourselves. We're going to see Lo HaKaptan Milameh. One has to have good midos to teach or to be a parent also. And finally, the Medrash Shmuel suggests that Avos actually does not, in this case, mean fathers or parents or anything like that. It means like great categories. Like we say about Shabbos, the 39 Avos Melachos. Or there are 4 Avos Nezikin, types. So he says this is the categories absorbing all of the different Musar ideals that one can have. Obviously, Sfarim and Pansfarim have been written about Musar. Pirkei Avos didn't stop them from being written, but this is the great categories behind which one can talk about all the different Musar ideals. as a side note, I do not think this is why it's called Avos. I didn't see it in any parish, but I will just note this Masechta also allows us to hear about some of the very early Tanoim. We know we're going to talk about the Zugos even before the Shimon HaTzadik, different great, very early Tanoim from Bais Sheni. We'll discuss the history soon, I hope, which in regular Mishnayos or Gemara do not appear very much for a good reason, because there was not much machlokas back then. And why would you have to say a name? You just say, halacha is XYZ. You don't have to say, Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik, Omer, this and that. Because everybody agreed. And later Doros, once we get to Hillel Shammai, and after that, you're going to have Rabbi Shmuel says this, Rabbi Akiva says this, and the names are so familiar to us. Earlier generations, we're going to see soon, there was very little machlokas. So normally we would not hear of their names so much, except in terms of a masa that happened, something like that. They do appear, but not very often. Whereas in Avos, since each of them are given their names just because of the beauty, the beautiful Musar ideals that they tell us, so we get to hear about them. I don't think that's why it's called Avos, but it's just an interesting point. Historically speaking, Pirkei Avos covers about 60 Tanoim, 60 Tanoim, spread about some 5 centuries. So we'll try to chart that a little bit as we go along. One more thing before we begin. The minhag to say Pirkei Avos on Shabbos afternoons stems from the time of the Gaonim. That's pretty far back. That's around the year 500 CE or so. That's generally when the Gaonim are around. And it began there. Originally, it was actually only to be said from Pesach to Shavuos, which makes a lot of sense. It's before Kabbalah Torah, so you're working yourself to really be Mekabel Torah. Pirkei Avos, as we know also, only has 5 parakim. However, the 6th parak, which is actually a Braisa, that means it was material collected at the same time as the Mishnah, but Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi chose not to include it in the actual Mishnayos. However, it was included in our Sidurim simply because it was very appropriate. It was all about getting Torah. And if it's the 6th Shabbos, that would be this year Shabbos Erev Shavuos, so perfect. So let's learn that parak also. That's how it got itself into there. And now sometimes it's printed along even in Mishnayos, sometimes not, but certainly in a Sidur it'll always be there. Gradually the minhag became that other places, most of the world says Pirkei Avos until Rosh Hashanah, and Frankfurt somehow kept half the minhag. They did more than Shavuos, but less than Rosh Hashanah they kept until Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, at which point actually we're very concerned about Ben Adam L'Chavero, but I can't explain to you exactly why that minhag is, but that's where it is.
Who does that minhag?
We do. Breuers only says till Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. Uh-huh. And we have a different way to do it too. The first 6 weeks, we say it like everybody else, 1 parak. But after that, we say it again, 2 parakim each week. And then for the 3rd cycle, depending whether Chukas Bolach is a part or together, we either say again 2-2-2, like we're doing this year, or in rare years, not so rare, but not so commonly, whenever Chukas Bolach is together, we actually say 3 and 3, which I know made somebody once who happened to walk into Breuer's ask his fellow, my father told me this, what are they doing? Are they learning almost? What is taking so long? No, they were just saying 3 parakim, maybe the last 3, which are rather long, and, you know, this person thought we're up to parak base, whatever it was. Okay, so that's so much for the Shabbos aspect of it. I should also note that we're going to see as we go along in the parakim, the Mishnos don't always match up with the Sidurim, and in fact, I really, really hope that all the Sidurim match to each other. I did not do an exhaustive check of all Siddur types. I sincerely hope they do. Otherwise, we'll have a lot of fun. In Perek Aleph, I can tell you, Rödelheim and the Mishnayos actually do match up, and I am hoping against hope that our school also does. So you'll let me know if I get the numbers wrong. That will mean that we're on a different count. From Perek Days on, we'll have to try to keep track. Okay, so we'll begin Mishnah Aleph. We already spoke about it, but now we'll do it inside. Mishnah Aleph of Perek Aleph says, Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai, which means Hashem who revealed himself upon Sinai. Umsorah, he gave it over to Yehoshua. Yehoshua the Zakenim. Yehoshua gave it over to the Zakenim. So we are over here talking about the Mesorah HaTorah. Of course, everyone at all time was learning Torah, but there were certain Mosrei HaTorah who received everything, as much as possible, the entire Torah, and passed it over. So from Yehoshua, it went to certain distinct Zakenim. not all the Shoftim were a part of them. We know one of the Shoftim wasn't even a good person, and not all of them were so learned, but the Zakenim were the next step. It was Zakenim leNeviim. After the Zakenim, we went to the Neviim. The time period of Neviim is considered to start with Eli and with Shmuel HaKohen. I mean, needless to say, they were Neviim before that, but in terms of what they're being called, this time period of Neviim, that would be them. UNeviim misarua l'anshei Knesset HaGedola. So from the Neviim, who span the entire Bayis Rishon and the first Golos, we go now to the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, the men of the Great Assembly, as they're called. They were the beginning of Bayis Sheni, and they also included the last remaining Neviim. We'll see that soon. Okay. Heim Amru Shlosha Devarim. Let's just read it, and then we'll see it more, some more in the first one. Heim Amru Shlosha Devarim. The Anshei Knesset HaGedola is the first entity that we are quoting in Mishnayis. They said three things. Of course, they said many, 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 many things. They made many takanos. But they said certain three things that will affect us to this day. They said, Hevu Misunim Badin. Be deliberate when you have a court case in front of you in justice. Ve'ha'amidu tamidim harbe. Set up many students. Ve'asu siyog la'Torah. And make a guarding face fence around the Torah. So, just to discuss a little bit more about this Mesorah Satorah, Yehoshua actually, in a certain way, could have been considered the Av Beis Din during Moshe's time. We're going to see later there's going to be a Nasi and an Av Beis Din of the Sanhedrin. So Yehoshua, in a certain sense, was the first Av Beis Din. His function was right beneath that of Moshe, and once Moshe was Nifter, he became the Nasi, he was in charge. The whole Mesorah HaTorah, which I'm not detailing every single person, but it's very interesting, that's included actually in the Igeres of Sharira Gaon. It's very famous. Rav Sharira Gaon, one of the last Gaonim, was asked by a Kehillah someplace or another, to outside of Babel, to please explain to us, how did the Torah reach the here and now? Rav Sharira was living in the 900s CE, or maybe the very late 800s. So how did we get from 2448 AM till 900 CE? What happened? And he sat and he wrote a long letter and discusses all of this. So that relates to that. Now the Anshei Knesset HaGedola we're familiar with, just like to say a few things about them. We know that they began as 120 people, which was a very special assemblage, because normally our Sanhedrin is 70, 71. So they began as 120, and like we said, they included the last of the Neviim, including Chagai Zechariah Malachi, and they included Ezra and Mordechai from Megillah, they included Zerubbabel, they included Nehemiah, they included all the great Gedolim from that time. And why are they called Gedola, besides for just that they were more in number than a Sanhedrin, Chazal tell us, Shechaziru Atara Lyoshna, they made things great again, they returned the crown to its old place, in that when they established the Tefillos, they taught us that we should indeed say it the way Moshe said, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanora. The fact that we suffered in Golos does not actually at all take away from the Gibor Hanora. It just makes Hashem's Gevura even that more striking, that Hashem withholds himself, he holds back, he doesn't immediately take Nekama upon us. That's a tremendous Gevura. We know, you know, Lahavdil, if one can count to ten, that's much more of a Gevura than immediately striking out at someone. So that was one thing they did. And of course, very, very famously, they established, like we said, Tefilos Kevuos. They established much of our Tefillah. They made a lot of Gezeros. That's the last thing that they said, Asu Siyogla Torah, make a fence around the Torah. It's very, very appertaining to them because they were already Gezeros before, but they made many of them. They started the idea of Drabonon, they continued it. They also very famously davened that the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah should go away. Hashem did acquiesce to that, but at the same time, that meant it was the end of Nevuah, because we have a concept in order to keep our Bechira Chafris, to keep a true free choice, if there's that much less Tuma, so unfortunately there has to be that less Tara Kedusha in the world, so that it still is an even choice. If Avodah Zarah would have gone away, and we still would have Neviim, so it would have been as easy as apple pie, and we wouldn't really have Bechira. So that was a very hard decision on their part, and that's why we say these last Neviim, those Neviim who had Nevuah at the time didn't lose it, but when they were Nifter, there were no more Neviim. And by the time that they reached 70, they did not replace members. By the time they reached 70, they were a normal Sanhedrin, and from then on, they of course replaced to keep the Sanhedrin HaGadol, but there was never another Anshei Knesset HaGedola. So, to make a few points in our Mishnah, when it says, Hamidu Tamidim Harbe, so literally it says, stand up many Tamidim, that is because at that time, until Rabban Gamliel came much later, Tamidim would learn standing. Then there came a weakness in the world and people were not so able to, they were schwach. So now we learn sitting down, but at that time we had Talmidim, so it meant literally stand them up, they were standing. And also as opposed to Rabbi Gamliel and Beis Shammai, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were teaching us that one should accept Talmidim unless proven that they are really not appropriate people. But unless you know otherwise, one should try to accept them, because you never know which student is going to be the most successful, who might become better. And also, this means even if one already had Talmidim earlier in life, one should never stop teaching, one should never stop being a good example, one should never stop teaching. And also, the idea is a mitzvah's asei, to teach one's own child, and also on a lower level, but it's also a mitzvah to teach anyone. It's a mitzvah's asei to teach the Torah. It says, v'shinantum levanecha. So, that's what Rebbe chose to put into the Mishnayos from Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Of course, they are mentioned many, many, many times because of the other gezeiros that they made, but this is what they taught us for the ages in Pirkei Avos. In Beis, we find Shimon HaTzadik. So, who is Shimon HaTzadik? It says, Shimon HaTzadik hayah mishiyorei Knesset HaGdolah. He was from the remnants of this Knesset HaGdolah, of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Like we said, until they hit 70, they did not replace members. Once they hit 70, they had to keep replacing to have a Sanhedrin HaGdolah. But this Shimon HaTzadik was from the original under 20. I guess he was one of the youngest at that time, and he was from the remnants. So, Shimon HaTzadik was, it seems, the third Kohen Gadol of Bayis Sheni. We know, very, very first off, there was Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, who we just read about in Haftarah a week and a half ago. In the Ma'arev, in Zechariah, we read it on Hanukkah. He was the first one. And after his time, then Ezra was Kohen Gadol. We know Ezra was a great Kohen, he was Kohen Gadol. And after that came Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik is famous to us, perhaps most, because he is the one who met Alexander. The famous story of there were Malshinim who told Alexander the Jews are rebelling against you, because we know the entire Bayis Sheni, the history is very hard to get the dates right. Rav Schwab has a whole article, the dates are somewhat very difficult to handle. But be that as it may, we know first they were under Persian rule and then under Greek rule. It was only later, under the Hasmonaim, that they briefly were independent. So at this point, we're holding by the beginning of Grecian rule. Alexander was busy out conquering different places, and he was told by Malshinim, the Jews want to rebel against you. So he came, he was ready to destroy Yerushalayim. Shimon HaTzadik went out in his big dekahuna, which is not a usual thing to do, but for this reason he did. He went out to greet him, was calling him torches, and made a very impressive procession. And Alexander got off his horse and bowed to him. His entourage asked him, what are you doing? You're bowing to this Jew? And he said, oh, you bet I am, because before every war, when I'm successful, before every battle, I see someone in my dream who looks exactly like this person over here. I never knew who he was, but now I see who it is. And they averted the gezeira. Instead, Shimon HaTzadik offered that every little Kohen born that year would be named Alexander. That's how we know. Of course, Alexander Zender became a Jewish name. I mean, now it's not only Kohanim, but that year it was Kohanim, and of course it spreads out from there into general Yisrael. So that's probably why he's famous to us. But he was the third Kohen Gadol, and after his time, the Kohen Gadol became much of a lesser thing. Unfortunately, we know his own sons already had a machlokish. Shimi and Chonyo made machlokis. One of them ran to Alexandria in Mitzrayim. It was already a very, very different scene. But in Shimon HaTzadik's time, this was still a Kohen Gadol, how it should have been.
Who was his sister? Is that...
That's Rabbi Shimon ben Chetta, I think you're talking about. So, this is Shimon HaTzadik, but I think the Alexander story is probably why we are familiar with him. I mean, also he appears in different places. So, back to our Mishnah and Beis, Shimon HaTzadik, Mishiyorei Knesset HaGdolah, Hu Hayah Omer. So we have this kind of Lashon a lot in Pirkei Avos, Hu Hayah Omer, he would say, which means that this is a phrase that he would say all the time. He would habitually say it. Sometimes in Halacha, it just says, Omer, when we're talking about this topic, this is Rabbi Akiva's opinion. But Hu Hayah Omer means all the time. This was something he would say. And what did he say? Al shalosha devarim ha'olam omeid. On three things the world stands. Al ha-Torah, v'al ha-Avodah, v'al gemilas chasodim. It stands on Torah, on divine service, and on gemilas chasodim, on doing kind deeds. So, Torah, how do we see that? Well, very famously, we have a pasuk from Yirmiyah, im lo brisi yomam v'layla, chukas shamayim v'aretz lo samti. which Chazal darshan to mean, if not for my bris of the Torah, not for my covenant with you, I would not keep the chukos, the natural order of Yom HaMelayla, the world would cease to exist. That goes along with the idea of, we know in Masa Bereishis it says Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi'i, Yom Chamishi, and then it says Yom HaShishi, the sixth day. So why does it say that? Because Hashem was Masna and he made a condition with all of his Beruim that he had just finished creating in 6 days. He said, but I have to tell you something, if the Bnei Yisrael on the sixth day of Sivan, 2448, will not accept the Torah, so I will have to turn you back into Sohu Vavohu, and I guess the world agreed to the condition. I mean, that wasn't really an option. That relates a little bit also to Bnei Yisrael being forced to accept the Torah, otherwise Hasinai would come down on them, because otherwise the world would come to an end anyhow, so it actually relates very well to that. So that's Al HaTorah. And also we know the Torah was created, the world was created on the Torah, meaning Histaka Ba'oraisa Ba'ora Alma. The Torah was created first. Like we read in Shavuos, if you looked at some of the Piyutim, a lot of them are based in Mishlei. There's a parak in Mishlei where the Torah, Chochma, the Torah, speaks. In first person, she's personified, and she says, Hashem Kanani Reishis Dako. Hashem acquired me, he made me the Torah, the first of all his creations. So then Hashem looked into the Torah, Kivyachol, not Kivyachol, he looked into the Torah and created the rest of the Nivra'im, of the world. So that would be also that Olam is literally standing ala Torah, because the Torah is what allowed for the world to be created. What about Avodah? So that's the Karbonos. In terms of Karbonos, actually, that same posuk that we brought in Lo Brisi Yom HaMelayla, Chazal also say it refers to the Bris HaKarbonos, like the Bris Ben Abisarim, when Avram brought Karbonos. So that can also be that we need the Karbonos. We see also by the Mabul, it was after Noah brought the Karbon that Hashem, Vayorach, Hashem Mesareach Nichoach, Hashem Kivyachol smelled the sweet, pleasant scent of the Karbon, and he said, okay, I'm not going to bring a Mabul anymore. So we see the world's Kiyum relates to Karbonos. So of course that leads us to ask, what should we do? Because unfortunately we don't have Karbonos. So of course, famously, we know Tefillah, Nishama Parim Svasenu. If we don't have Parim, we don't have oxen, so at least we can daven, which they of course needed to do by the Karbonos also, to bring a Karbon, and not daven was nothing, it was a masquerade, there's no point in doing that. And also the idea that one should learn and read the Karbonos. That's one of the reasons, of course, why in Shacharis, early on, we say Ezu Mekomam. So you need to say something, because we're trying, having said the Berachos HaTorah, there's one opinion that you should immediately say something in learning. So we do that. We say Barakha for Psukim, we say Elu Devarim for Mishnayis, and we say Elu Devarim and Ezu Mekomam for Mishnayis, and we say Rabbi Yishmael Omer for Gemara. But why do we pick Ezu Mekomam? Of course, because at the Bat Karbonos is when we should have been bringing the Talmid of Shacharis, the Talmid of Mincha. So at least we read about it, we say it, we learn about it. And Gemilas Chasadim, very simply, we know in Tehillim, Teites, we read Olam Chesed Yibane, the world is built, shall be built on kindness. Interpersonal kindness is very important. And needless to say, Hashem's kindness to us. If Hashem was not constantly, so to speak, loaning us ahead of time our life and our breath, the world would cease. Our mitzvahs, first of all, could never be done if Hashem wasn't giving us a chance ahead of time to be living, to do them. And even if we do the mitzvahs, we think that really makes up for Hashem's constant care. Hopefully it's not a cheshbon like that, but it's Hashem is constantly doing chesed with us. So that would be the explanation of Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasadim. The Rambam takes it a little bit differently. He says Torah refers to acquiring wisdom and to learning Torah. Avodah, he says, actually is keeping all the mitzvahs. We said Avodah is Karbanos. Tefillah, he says, no, Avodah means serving Hashem. That's anything. Any mitzvah you do, that's Avodah. And Gemilas Chasadim, he says, is more than just doing chesed, it's midos. Working on oneself to be a nicer person, to be a proper person, that's also Gemilas Chasadim. The Sfarno notes that we say the world stands on, he says this actually refers to our Yisrael's world, where we hope that it should be Ikar Shechina B'Tachtonim. We hope that we should be Zochet Ev Hashem among ourselves. That sort of world depends on this. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says slightly differently. He says, when we say the world stands on these things, it just means for the purpose of these things. Why were we created? Why was an entire universe with how many galaxies created? For our little dot, our little planet, for us, the mute of the nations, to be keeping the Torah of Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim. So that's what Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik had to say. By the way, the greats of our Tanakh, and a little bit later on, who have no title in front of their names, actually are the greatest of the great. I keep by mistake saying Rabbi Shimon. It's not. It's Shimon HaTzadik, and that's a higher level. He was such a great person that it's like, well, what other Shimon would I be talking about? It's like the Shimon par excellence. That was the greatest. We're going to see later we have Rabbis. Anybody named Rabbi had real semicha. Anybody named just Rav lived in Bavel, did not get real semicha, but had, like we would say, he's a Rav. So if we can start Gimel, that would be good. Maybe we'll even go further. So we meet Antigonos Ish Socho, Kibel Shimon HaTzadik. We meet someone who, except for Avos, we would not be very familiar with probably at all. Somebody, great godel named Antigonos Ish Socho. Antigonos, a man of Socho. And Ish, by the way, is a very choshuv way of speaking. It means like he was the lord almost of Socho. This was his town. Otherwise, you just say, mi Socho, from Socho. A man of Socho means he's the one you think about. When you think about Socho, you think about Antigonos. So, kibel mi Shimon HaTzadik. This Antigonos Ish Socho received the Torah from Shimon HaTzadik. And hu hayo omer? He said something also. He would commonly say, al tehiyu ka'avodim ha-meshameshim esarav amenos v'kabel pros. Do not be like slaves, like servants, who serve their master for the purpose of receiving a prize. Elo, hayu ka'avodim, rather you should be like servants, slaves, ha-meshameshim esarav shalo amenos v'kabel pros. They serve him not for the purpose of receiving some kind of nice prize. They serve him because they love him, because they have a yiras haromus, what a great master he is. They serve him anyhow. Vihi moro shamayim aleichem, and let the fear of heaven be upon you. So, this Mishnah certainly needs some explanation. You'll notice a pras sounds a little bit like a prize, and in fact today in Ivrit a pras is a prize. Like if you win, a Nobel Peace Prize, it's a pras. He does not use the lashon of schar. That's because the Rambam and others explain a pras means something that really is not deserved. We're not talking about nobody would think we should serve Hashem like really expecting our wages. Like, hello, I daven shacharis to you. Like, please give me $50. That nobody would even think of. The question is this pras. The examples are given of like a child who really should be doing chores anyhow, but he knows that if he does them well, he's very likely to get something from his mother. A dollar or a treat, whatever it is, that's a pras. It's something he really doesn't deserve, but, you know, he has his hopes up. If I do a nice job, in this case the slave says, my master might very well tell me, you know, okay, take the afternoon off, or give me some money, and a kid will say, okay, you know, I really have to do the chores anyhow, but, you know, I have a feeling that might be nice, he might give me something. That's a pras. And Antigonus is telling us that even such a pras, even meaning that we know I have to do the mitzvahs anyhow, but I think Hashem has something there for me. Even that, we should be on a level that we just don't concern ourselves with that idea at all. We should only be doing it because we want to serve Hashem. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner also has a very beautiful thought. He says, why, Taka, should we not expect a reward for our mitzvahs? I mean, we're going to get it, but that's not the point. Why should we not regard it? Yes, I put in my work, and, you know, give me the paycheck. So he says, definitely not. Because we would never succeed in doing anything were it not for Hashem's help. We know b'chol yom v'yom yitzah shel adam misgaber alav, and if Hashem would not help him, so forget it. So he says, what is this comparable to? Not a worker who knows how to do his work. It's comparable at most to an apprentice, to someone who's constantly being helped by the master craftsman. No, you better do it this way. Oh, here, I can help you with this. Such a person truly would not expect wages. So again, that's why we're back to this idea of a pras, that just a person who might hope, if I do it well, you know, I think there's something in it for me. And Antigonus says, that's not what you should be doing. You should be doing the mitzvahs from Av. However, he does add at the end, v'himora shamayim aleichem, the fear of shamayim should be upon you. And that's the idea that one needs Av, and one needs Yira. True, it should be a Yira Saromimus, a fear just because, think who's watching me, not the fear because, oh gosh, he could hit me. But nevertheless, we need both. As we know, Ava is very, very good to get one to do mitzvahs asay, and one comes not to hate or despise them. But Yira is even more useful when it comes to not do something one should not do. One has to have a certain fear, not to say, okay, but you know, Hashem loves me so much, it doesn't matter. We know many of the goyim go by this Ava. But whatever you do, it's okay, you know, he loves you. That's no sort of an answer. We need the year of Saromimus, that a person does not come to just say, okay, that's very nice, I love him, but today I'd rather just take the day off. That's not an option here. And when we speak of Eurotharomimus, of course, this entails tremendous, tremendous levels that we are not holding by, but nevertheless, one can have an understanding, at least some idea, if one just, the McPherson explains, if one just keeps in mind, as much as one can, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, Hashem is watching, Hashem is before me. How do we act different when we're before a great person, before a Rav, a king, when one has guests at home, and one is just hanging around without anybody? That difference is, on our level, a certain Yerusharomimus understanding. The fact that I would act differently if I'm aware, Dalaf Nemiyata Omeid, that somebody is watching me, and after somebody, the Melech Malchei Amlochim, that's at least a Pesach, maybe that's a little bit of an introduction to what Yerusharomimus is. So, by the way, there's actually an even harder Girsa, some of the Rishonim have, that the Mishnah says, Antiknus said, you should rather be Ka'avodim HaMisham Shemesarov Al-Minos Shalola Ka'avol Pras. Al-Minos to not get such a Pras. That's a much harder Girsa to understand, because we know without any doubt the Schar is waiting for us. Hashem has tremendous chesed, and you bet he gives Prasim out. He gives them out like one couldn't believe. So, how to explain that? Again, it's the pashtus is that it's explaining how one should have in mind when doing the mitzvahs that I totally would do this mitzvah even if I knew that there was no star involved. The Ri Kara says some nice drushim on the Mora Shamayim Aleichem. It says, V'hi Mora Shamayim Aleichem, the fear of heaven should be upon you. So, first of all, it's a not only that one has to fear Hashem, but may you only fear Hashem and not fear anybody else. As a midah and also as a bracha, you shouldn't have to fear anybody else. And he says even more as a drush, that Mora Shamayim, the fear of heaven should be upon you, meaning Hashem should worry and care about you. Like a person fears for his child, fears, he worries, he cares about you, Hashem should have that on you. And also so too the Shamayim themselves, in a certain sense, if one may say, should like fear us, as in, you know, great stories, Gedolim, who would say daven for rain, and the Shemayim would listen immediately. I mean, obviously, Shemayim don't have free will, Hashem is telling them to, but may such a situation be the case that Mora Shemayim should be upon you. So, although I don't want to end with a not such a great point, we certainly have to mention that this Antignus Ish Soho, who is, as we said, a tremendous, tremendous Gedolim, and think what Milos is speaking about, that or to be able to serve Hashem purely out of Ava and Yerusharomimus and not think about the Schar, he had two students, I mean, among many. We're going to see who actually got the Torah from him were Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan. But before that, he had two students, two gentlemen named Tzadok and Baitus. Tzadok and Baitus. And these people were perhaps the Chachamim, but they were not Tzadikim, although one's name was Tzadok. And they heard this lecture of Antignus Ish Soho. And they concluded, whether one says truly erroneously or they chose to conclude, that what he's saying is there's no star and onus. Yeah, you want to keep mitzvahs, go ahead, because you love Hashem, that's great, love God, fear God, but don't hope for a prize. That's how they came out. And basically that means they were kofar totally, because we know one of the Yud Gimli Karim is Hashem is Meshalim Schar Lo. Osei Ritzono, Manish Lo, Orei Ritzono. So they were kofar totally, but they had some chachma, they were clever. They said, you know, if we just go out there and lecture like we're atheists, not Baruch Hashem, not too many people would have listened to them. We're still talking about the beginning of Vaisheni. There were not so many people ready to become culprit. So they said, no, we're going to do something smarter. All we're going to do is deny the Divrei Chachamim. Because Chachamim are the ones who mostly talk about Olam Haba and things like that. Torah Shebitzav doesn't really say a whole lot about it. So we're going to hold by Torah Shebitzav, and we're just going to say, no, the rabbis, they're the ones who just make stuff up. The Tzedukim, that's in their name, of course. So they became the Tzedukim and the Baitusim. That's the names of these people. They attracted enough people. And, of course, once they gave up the Chachamim, they could now dash from the Torah Shebitzav however they chose. That's like today, we have Reform, Conservative, okay, you know, it says, thou shalt not do this, but, you know, really it means this, really it means that. I mean, we see that Joshua give it to Avos, but they're only dashing to explain it. So these people did the same thing. And they flourished during Baisheni when there was a high political class. In the late times of the Chashmonaim, unfortunately, there were people who were assimilationists, sort of after the Hellenists. They were very interested in being able to disregard the Chachamim's words, so that was when the Tzedukim flourished. By the time of the Churban, there was really no more interest in Tzedukim because the Romans were destroying everything. They were not going to be palsy with the Romans anymore. So Tzedukim petered out, but their ideas never fully left. And in the Gaonim's time, the Karaim came. They were founded by a different person than Jael. He was another one of these great Chachamim. This person who founded the Karaim, we're jumping way later to Babel in the Gaonim times. This person was in jail for having done something, and in Babel, the Reish Galusa and the Gaonim, they had political criminal power. Their basedins were strong. So this guy was in jail for having done something wrong. But he was in the municipal jail. And his Muslim co-inmate said to him, you know, you're only in jail because you're a Jew, so when you did XYZ, the Jews can put you in jail. For example, if I did this, I wouldn't be in jail because my imam wouldn't have put me in jail. Why don't you just tell the government officials that I actually am starting a new religion? You can't blame me. I'm not one of the Mosaic faith. I am an XYZ person, so why should I be in jail? That's exactly what this person did. He announced, I am a Karai. I only hold of Mikra. I only hold of the Psukim, not of the Chachamim. Sure enough, he was released from jail, to the Chachamim's regret, of course. And the Karaim, we know, exist to this day. I mean, they're a very shvacha little community today, but they do exist. Some of them managed to escape the Holocaust by actually using exactly the same logic. They said to the Germans, Machshamam, we're not Jews, we're Karaim. So I don't think the real Germans bought that, but different allies did. It helped them in a certain sense. Today they're in Eretz Yisrael, mainly they're a very, very tiny group.
There's a group in Eretz Yisrael.
Right, so the Russians is the ones who managed to stay alive, and Eretz Yisrael also, there's a beautiful Beis Knesset, but we don't go inside it because it's an old city. It's a beautiful shul. Well, we try not to, but it's a problem. So it's why they can't intermarry is because they have such different dinim about the gittin and so on that it would be a terrible thing if they intermarried. It would be a problem. If somebody wants to be a Baal Shuva from them, that's fine, but they can't intermarry. So that's all they can marry again. Maybe it's a problem. So that's where the Tzedukim, again, they're not literally the same group. Tzedukim and Karaim are the same idea. Tzedukim came, unfortunately, from this time. So I'm not going to go into the Mishnah Dalet, but just to begin on a good note, to end on a good note, rather, we'll note that Antigonos, although he unfortunately had these two students, the next students he had were the most rare Torah. He had Yosef ben Yoezer, Ish Tzereda, Yosef ben Yochanan, Ish Yushalayim, and as we'll have to talk about next time, these were the first of the five zugos. We're going to see there were five pairs of Tanoim who bring us much through by Sheni. So I guess we'll have to continue. Oh, no, we don't.
Hi.
Welcome. Okay. Great. Excellent. I'm still thinking of those nice years when we started at 10. I'm still thinking of those years. No, I wasn't so early. I came at 10:15. That part I remember. Okay, good. Thank you. Excellent. I was wondering why we did so little. Okay, so these zugos. We're going to have five zugos, five pairs. And in most of the cases, we'll see in one there's machlokas, but in most cases, the first one was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, the president, we'll call him for no better word. And the second one is the Avbeistin. So that's these are basically the early Tanoim. Again, we hear much more about the later Tanoim because their names come up because of the machlokas. But here are the early Tanoim, and their names actually do appear beginning from these, from this pair, Yosef ben Yoezer, Ish Tzereda, and Yosef ben Yochanan, Ish Shalayim. They actually do appear in the Gemara Chagiga, in the Mishnah Chagiga, because from over here, from this time, stemmed one of the very first machloksos. Machlokos revolved around whether one may do semicha on a korban on Yom Tov, and in each of these five zugos, in other words, it went generation after generation, machlokos, one said yes, one said no, one said yes, one said no, so their names are brought down, but other than that, again, they're not mentioned so much, except here in Pirkei Avos. So, in Dalit, if we look inside, it says, Yosef ben Yoezer, Ish Tzereda. Yosef ben Yoezer, a man of Tzereda. The Yosef ben Yochanan, Ish Yushalayim. Yosef ben Yochanan, a man of Yushalayim. Kibulu mehem. They received from them. So it's interesting because the person before is only one person. It's Antignos Ish Socho. So there are actually some Gersaos that say, it should say, Kibulu mimenu. They received their Torah from him, from Antignos. But most of the Mishnayos are not like that. They have Mehem. And it seems that's because when they were much younger, they also had been Zocha to learn from Shimon HaTzadik. Even though perhaps when they were older and they got most of their learning from Antigonus, it went in order. But they were already around when Shimon HaTzadik was still there. So Mehem, going back two stages, they received from both of them. And the Mishnah continues with the first of them, the Nasi, Yosi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzereda Omer. So he would say, he said, your house should be the gathering place for chachamim. You should become dusty from the dust of their feet. You should drink with thirst their words. So, the upshot of this would be that you should try to make your house a place where when people want to gather, they say, okay, you know, we can go to Plony. He's always so nice. He always has a place for us. Maybe he always has far amount. I don't know, whatever it would be. Whatever you can do to make your house a good place to gather, for learning, for discussion, that's a wonderful thing. Why? Because even if you're not necessarily part of that discussion or part of that learning, it's impossible not to learn something from it. I'm sure families feel when somebody's learning with a chavrusa at home. So the rest of the family also feels something. There's learning going on. When one picks up something, when hears something, there's a kedusha, there's an elevated level going on in the house. That's always compared with a mashal, a person who goes into a perfumer's shop, even if he chooses in the end not to buy anything, that perfume sticks on him. Sometimes, in my case, if unfortunately I don't appreciate it if I walk through a department store, that really smells quite a bit. It's a very good mashal. Okay, so that's the mashal beitzva the chachamim. The vei misabak, you should get dusty from the dust of their feet. So the mashal can be taken as two ways. One, it can mean you should go after them. The mashal being, if you're walking behind somebody on a dirt road, so whatever dirt he's kicking up, you're going to get, and you should try to walk after the chachamim. However they're going, whatever they're doing, you should learn from them. Or it can mean you should sit at their feet. Because at the time of the Mishnayos, if people were sitting at all, like somebody was really teaching a class, so the Rebbe would sit on a bench and a chair, and the Talmidim would sit on the floor. So they would be getting dusty by the dust of his feet, or at the dust of his feet. Meaning, go after them and learn from them. And the last thing that they show said, B'tzoma es d'vrayim, you should drink with thirst their words. So that's the idea, we know Torah is compared to mayim, it's compared to water. Water is a tahar, water is available, water is wonderful, water is a life source. But water is really only very delicious if you're thirsty. A soda or juice or whatever you like is probably delicious whether you're thirsty or not. In fact, that has to do with the Chamar HaMedina in terms of Abdullah and Kiddush. But water is only really a delicious, water mechaya, if you're thirsty for it. So too with Torah. You can really only appreciate Divrei Torah fully if you are the one who's thirsty. If you're thirsting for it, then Divrei Torah, wow, I can't believe it. But if you're not interested, when's the speaker going to stop? Come on. So even the best of your Torah are not very interesting. So that's the idea, you should try to drink with thirst their words. And the Sforno takes the Mishnah slightly different. He says the base va'al l'chachamim does not mean, I mean, not that it doesn't mean, but he explains it, not that you should try to get your house to be the meeting place. He says rather your main bias, your main dwelling place during the day should be by the chachamim, should be by shul, by beis medrash. That's where you should find your makom kavua to be. True, you sleep in your house at night, that's true, very nice, but your main bias should be by the chachamim. And havei misabak, meaning even outside, like we said before, you should try to walk with the chachamim. Even if it's not, the shir is not now, it's bein hazmanim, whatever it is, my shir is only starts then, but it's better to walk with the chachamim more than to do something else. And to listen, even as divrayan, he says, he takes it to mean not necessarily even their Torah shiurim, but even their sichas chulin. Like we know, it's brought down why the Torah recounts twice the whole story of Eliezer getting Rivka, because sichas chulin is a very important thing. One can learn a lot, even just from regular conversation of great people. I'm going to see soon, sichah is not such a great thing if one is not a great person, but if one is, so there's what to learn, for sure. So he says, even divrayin, just their plain old words, you should show sabatoma, you should pay attention. Okay, luckily we have some time, that's excellent. Let's see what Yossi ben Yochanan Ish Yerushalayim says. So he's the Avdeis Din. Again, it's going to go in this order, usually, Yossi and then Avdeis Din. Mishnah Hey, Yossi ben Yochanan Ish Yerushalayim Omer, he says, Yivezucha pasuach l'ravacha. Let your house be open wide. So we're going to see ravacha can also mean, though, relief. Like we say, revach ha'atzolah ya'amod la'yehudim. So that can mean not only literally it should be wide open, but it should also be a place where people know they can find help, they can find relief. V'yu aniyim b'nei v'escha. And let poor people be b'nei v'escha, be part of your household. V'al tarba sicha im ha'isha. This is what I was talking about before, that sicha, when it's not such a great person, can be a problem. Al-Tarba Sikha, do not make much of light conversation with a woman. The Ishto Amru. They said this about even one's own wife. Havachomer Beishas Havero. Havachomer, somebody else's wife. Mikan Amru Chachomim. From here, from what Yossi ben Yochanan said, the Chachomim learned, this is Rabbi Yehuda Anasi speaking, he's putting this into the Mishnah, Mikan Amru Chachomim, Falamar Basicha in Ma'isha, anybody who makes excessive light conversation with a woman, Gorem Ra La'atzmo, he brings about evil for himself, Uvotam Yidivei Sorah, he becomes Batel from learning Torah, and so for Yoresh Gehinnom, in the end, he'll do more Averos, he'll end up Chas V'Shalom inheriting Gehinnom. So this Mishnah definitely should be explained. Let's first take the first part, Pasuach Aravacha. Your house should be opened wide for, basically, for anybody who needs help. So the examples are brought Avram Avinu and different people who literally had doors on every side. I don't know if that's necessarily saying that the building code has to demand four doors, one on each side, and in our apartment doors it's not shayach. But they point out that especially in older times, like a rich person's house would not necessarily even have to open onto the street at all. He could have had like a courtyard that he'd keep locked, and then an inner gatehouse, and then his house. So he's recommending that your house should be open, it should be available. It should be like towards the street, there's a door where you know if you clock somebody's going to answer it. That would be the idea of open wide. And again, like we said, Ravacha, also relief. Also, it reminds us perhaps of different stories we know from different great Balei Chesed, who insisted that, you know, the Aniyim or Mshulachim should go to the front door. They shouldn't feel like, okay, I just have to go around to the back, what do you want? No, Pasuach Ravacha, go in, how can I help you, make them feel at home, things like that. And the Aniyim B'nei Beisla, poor people should be part of your household. So, first of all, like we said above, they should feel comfortable, they should feel part of the family. If you're helping somebody, the way to really help is to make them feel comfortable. Please, at any time, you know, invite yourself, call me for a Shabbos meal. It's not a huge help when you say, okay, you know, I'm going to check you off on my chesed schedule. It's not going to feel anybody feel very comfortable. That's not good. And a lot of the Mefarshim also point out a very interesting thing. They say, aniyim b'nei beischa, aniyim, meaning, of course, Jewish people who could use some parnasa, let them be your b'nei beischa rather than goyim. Rather than buying slaves or servants or a goyish worker, rather let hire a Jew. So we know that's why Aguda has these different job placement things that, you know, if your company needs to hire somebody, please, by all means, try to get a Jewish firm worker, because you're doing the best chesed. You're not giving tzedakah, you're giving deserved wages. In this case, not just the pras, the real wages the guy deserves, and he's getting a panasa, b'nikiyos. So a lot of the Mefarshim stress that. Aniyim b'nei beischa, let the b'nei beischa, your household help, be aniyim, meaning Jewish aniyim. So that's the first step. Then we will discuss, I'm not going to say we'll hold the conversation, but we'll discuss the Sikha in Ma'isha. What does that mean? So like we said, Sikha is always a lashon of a light conversation. Like we said before, Sikha Schulen for Gedolim, to hear Sikha Schulen for Gedolim, that's a good thing. But what are we saying over here? So again, all Mefarshim stressed is talking about like light conversation or chatter, something that's not recommended ever. The Rambam adds it often includes inappropriate topics. And we would say it's like a mingling, a flirting, a, not a proper way to be. That's brought from the Gemara Chagiga. There's a pasuk in Amos that says, Magid Adam Ma'aseicho. Hashem and the Yom HaDin will tell a person what was his conversation. So Chazal say, Afilo Sicha Kalo Ben Ishto Ishto Magid No B'Shas HaDin. So one has to be careful. Some of the Mefarshim also mentioned that this is talking about his wife when they cannot be together, so then they should be very careful not to come to Hergel Avera, which should not be too close with one's wife at such a point. And Kal V'Chomer was another person's wife who he never had a heter with, so that's even more. Other Mefarshim take it not as having anything to do with Gilei Aroyos, anything like that, but an inyan of not making more machlokas. If one constantly gets in the habit of talking to each other about every silly thing that happened in the day, who insulted me, who did this, I was upset about that, so on, makes the problem that much greater. And they bring, actually, it's appropriate for this Shabbos, we know that Eshes Korach is the one who instigated a lot of the problems of Korach. Korach came home. We can imagine Korach, we know he was not so happy anyhow, but he told his wife that, like what we read, when the Levium were inaugurated, so Aaron and Cohen swung them, as if they were a carbon. And their heads had to be all shaved, and they were swung about. Really, this is a very tremendous Kedushadik thing. But he obviously wasn't so happy because he wanted to be going model, so you can imagine he didn't want to be a lady. Wasn't happy. And his wife said, you know, Moshe's really just making a mockery out of you. He's having you guys all look shaved. I mean, you guys all look crazy. She's making a mockery out of you. And Korach even said back to her, he said, one second, Moshe is one of us. Moshe had to do that too. Moshe was a Levi also, right? But an observer, but Moshe was waved too. So she said, it doesn't matter. She used the pasuk, Chazal used the pasuk from Shimshon and Shoftim. She obviously didn't say those words, but she said, Tomus Napshi and Plishtim. Okay, so Moshe said, also I'll make a fool of myself, but just for the sake of making a fool of everybody else. That's Ad Kan, how she pushed that machlokis. Of course, at the same time, once we mention her, we should also mention Ashes' own Ben Peles, who saved her husband from machlokis, which I guess the moral being that if you're already in a machlokis, maybe it's good to discuss it with someone to try to get yourself out of it. I don't know. But if you're trying to avoid a machlokis, it's probably a good idea to say, okay, forget it, the guy didn't mean it, whatever, let's go on with life. Not to have all these conversations back and forth, and then he said this, and he probably meant that. That also causes a lot of trouble. And of course today, I mean, with both people working, obviously it would go both ways. As I said about Isha, because the man is the one who is working outside, and he comes home, he tells his wife what's happening. Today, obviously, the chiyuv would be on an Isha, not to tell her husband probably also. I mean, their dinim, the Lashon Hara, that would be what we'd be talking about. The Nachlos Avos adds that this actually connects to the beginning of the Mishnah, when we said that all those aniyim b'nei veischa should be so comfortable in your house to feel part of your household, but nevertheless one also has to remember tznius, one has to remember moral boundaries too. You can't just have everybody walking in off the street, doesn't matter what I'm dressed, doesn't matter anything I'm talking, I'm dead. One has to be careful, they have to be gedorim. I'll read you what Rav Hirsch says. Rav Hirsch says, a man who truly respects his wife will value her views and counsel, and not overburden their conversation with frivolous chatter. So don't be mar basicho, that's the idea. That's a similar idea brought by the Rambam. Also, he quotes from Chazal. We know famously Chazal say, itzoch, itzoch, gutzo, if your wife happens to be very short, gechon al chashlo, so you have to bend down if you want to speak to her. Meaning, obviously, you should be speaking, but again, not in this silly way. And the Nachlos Ovos brings also that this is simply a Shalom Bayis advice. Silence is gold. Be mevater, don't necessarily... We said about machlokas was outside of things, but perhaps kabel chomer inside the house also. Sicha is not always necessarily the best idea. And then just to finish off, we said it's gorim ra'olat. Most such a person who does this causes evil to befall him. So they explained that ra can refer to the Yetzer Hara itself, but he's gorim it. He's knowingly causing the Yetzer Hara to have more ability to attack him. Vot tell me divrei Torah. Literally, he can't do two things at once. Obviously, he can't be learning Torah while holding silly conversations. But also, he gets used to banter and mindlessness. We see this today. People have such a problem with their attention spans, with anything, because they're used to doing this mindless stuff. Suddenly, it comes to learning. I see it with children. You know, you want me to actually pay attention to one idea, like, for 10 minutes? That's impossible. I have to see the next colorful image popping up. So that would be both Talmud Divrei Torah and Sofa Yorish Gehinnom. So Chas V'Shalom, one Avera can lead to the next. But on the positive, we should also note, of course, one mitzvah leads to the next, and if one can act more like Asia's own Ben Peles, or Sarah, we know Shem told Avram, Kol Asher Tamar Lecha Sarah Shema Bekola. So a woman or anybody who knows how to use her talk properly, obviously that's Harezim Meshubach, that's the best. And I guess now we really are officially out of time. So good, we're up to Mishnah Vav, Mitzvah Shem.